Today's daf is Menachas Daf Chof Tes, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Ches Amid Beis, Omar Shmuel, Mishmei De Sab. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Rufu Shalem, Vachav Miriam Bas Malka Freda, Shloime Ben Chaya Leah, Rachel Bas Henya, Rivka Yittel Bas Rachel, and Edel Nechama Bas Batsheva. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Tova Rivka Esther, Bas Yisrael Yehoshua. So, we're in the middle of a sugya, a digression from the core Menachas sugyas. We're discussing halachos related to the Menorah. The first part of today's daf is going to go into somewhat detail discussing the physical nature of the menorah, and in fact, it's going to feel a lot like a chumashir of Parshas Truma. And really, in order to properly appreciate the first half of today's daf, we have to quickly review a few psukim in Parshas Truma. Not the easiest psukim in the Torah, we'll just go through them very, very briefly, and then we'll see how the Gemara explains them. So the pasuk says, "V'asisa menoras zahav tar." Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, "You should build a menorah for the Mishkan. It should be made out of pure gold. Miksha teyasa hamenorah. The menorah should be made up of one piece. Yurecha. It should have a base. Vikana, and then there should be a long stick. Giviyah." Additionally, there should be giviyah, bechers, cups, kaftayreah, there should be knobs, ufracheah, and blimen, and flowers, all a part of this menorah. Additionally, v'shisha konem yoitzim mitzideah, there should be six arms that extend from the kana, that main part of the menorah. Shloisha knei menorah mitzida echad. Three should be coming out of one side. Ushloisha knei menorah mitzida sheni. And three should be coming out of the other side. Pasuk continues and says, Shloisha gevia mishu kadim bakana ha echad. Kafta v'ferach. That there should be three gevia, additionally a kafta and a ferach on one kana. Ushloisha gevia mishu kadim bakana ha echad. Kafta v'ferach. There should be another three gevia together with the kafta of a ferach on the other kana. In fact, Cain, l'sheishas ha-kanam ha-yotzim ha-naminer. This should be true for all six of the kanam. So all six of the kanam should have three gevim, one kaftar, and one ferach. Additionally, uba menorah, as it relates to the main kana of the menorah, arba gevim, there should be four gevim, mishu kadam engraved, kaftareh ufracheh, together with a kaftar and a ferach. Additionally, the kaftar tachash nehakonim mimeno, the kaftar tachash nehakonim mimeno, the kaftar tachash nehakonim mimeno. Each one of the two konim, so there's six konim that are coming out of the main part of the menorah, which means there's three sets of two. Corresponding to each set of two, there should be a kaftar, which means you can end up with three of these kaftarim for the six konim. Finally, kaftareim uknoisam mimenu yiyu, the kaftarim and these konas, these arms, should all emanate from the main part of the menorah, kula miksha achaza avtar, and the entire menorah should be made up of one piece of pure gold. Pasuk continues and talks about the neiros and some of the utensils that were used as it relates to servicing the menorah. The pasuk says that the weight of the menorah should be a kikar. Additionally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe very cryptically, Ureva say, I want you to look and you should do bitav nisan, exactly the way I made it, asher atem mara bahar, as I showed it to you on the mountain, the Gemara, in the course of today's daf is going to darshan that pasuk as well. Either way. So we remember this maybe from Cheder, where the menorah was made up of a yurecha. It was made up of a long stick that emanated from that yurecha. There were six konim, right? Those are the six arms of the menorah that we're quite familiar with. Additionally, there were givieha, kaftoireh, upfrocheh. Three of this, one of that, another three of this. The Gemara is going to do the math for us, and the Gemara is going to now go and describe the Torah Shebaal Peh of what exactly these psukim are coming to tell us. So it's a little bit technical, but it's also very foundational. It's nice to know what the menorah looked like. And by the way, don't confuse the menorah of the Mishkan and the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash with the menorah that you put at your front window on Hanukkah. For starters, that menorah is made up of eight neiros, plus the Shamish, as opposed to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was made up of six neiros plus the Shamish. Either way, the Gemara begins, Amra Shmuel Mishmei Desab. Shmuel said in the name of some older person, Kodesh HaMenorah, as it relates to the height of the menorah, Shmoina Aser Tvachim. It was 18 Tvachim. That's how tall the menorah was. And he went on to describe what the cheshbon of the 18 Tvachim are. Haraglayim Vahaperach Gimel Tvachim. So there was a base of the menorah, what the Torah refers to as Yurecha. The Yurecha of the menorah, the base, which was made up of a base, you have a picture, it's worth 1,000 words. So it's made up of some platform. There's raglayim, there were little legs on the bottom of the base. Additionally, there was one perach, there was one flower that was on the top of the base. So if you take the yerech with the feet on bottom of it and the flower on top of it, what you're going to end up with is gimel tvachim. Now, we'll see in the course of the Gemara, the perach, the kaftar, and the gevim, they were all one tefach. So if the yerech with that perach is made up of three tefachim, so presumably the math is it's one tefach for the perach, for the flower, and it's the other two tefachim for the base. But the bottom line is the yerech itself, what the Gemara refers to as haraglayim vahaperach, together made up three tefachim. Okay, so we have three. Utfachayim chalak, then you had the kana, right, which is lodged into this yerech, that's the long main rod of the menorah. So at that point, there were just two tefachim of nothing on the kana. It's just chalak, it was just smooth. V'tefach, then there was a tefach, shabai gviya v'kafta v'ferach. Now, as Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to learn this, we're going to learn the way Rashi learns, and that is that one tefach itself had on one side a gviya, on one side a kafter, and on one side a ferach. So the gviya was a tefach, the kafta was a tefach, and the ferach was a tefach. But the way that they all made it into that same amma is because they weren't one on top of each other, but they were side by side. So depending on what side you were looking at the menorah from, that would determine, did you see the gevir, did you see the kafter, did you see the ferach? With tefachim chalak, on top of that tefach, there was another two tefachim of nothing there. Then the tefach kaftar, on top of those two tefachim of nothing, there was a kaftar, which was a tefach. Ushnei kanim yoytzim imenu. Now we're getting into the main part of the menorah. There were two kanim that came out of that one kaftar. Echad eilach, echad eilach. One was coming out of one side, the other was coming on the other side. V'nim shachim v'oilim, and how high did they go? Keneged goy v'shal menorah. They would go all the way to the top of the menorah. So as we're going to see, these six kanim are all coming out of the guf of the menorah at different lengths, right? Two are coming from lower, two above that, and two above that. But they're all going to top out at the same spot, right? The six neiros at the top are all going to be at the same exact place. So these two kanim, one from this side and one from that side, on nimshach va'oyla keneged goy v'shal menorah, they'll end up at the top height of the menorah. V'tefach chalak, there was another tefach of nothing. V'tefach kafter, on top of that, there was a kafter, there was another tefach. U'shnei kanim yoytzim imenu. And again, there were two kanim that came out of that second kafter. Echad eilach v'echad eilach. One was on this side, one was on the other side, nimshach va'oyla. And again, they went all the way to the top, keneged goy v'shal menorah, corresponding to the full height of the menorah. V'tefach chalak, there was another tefach, but there was nothing there. V'tefach kafter, and then there was a tefach of a kafter again. Ushnei kadam yoytzim imenu echad eilav echad eilav. There were two kadam that came out, one from this side and one from that side. V'nim shachim va'olam keneged goyvan shel menorah. So these kadam were much shorter, right? Because they're coming from higher up and they're going to end up in the same place where the lower ones were. They're going to end up keneged goyvan shel menorah utvachaim chalak. And then there were another tefachim where there was nothing there. Nishtayru sham. If you're doing the math, if you're keeping score, so at this point we're already accounted for 15 tefachim. We said that the height of the menorah was 18 tefachim, so how many tefachim do we still need? Three, says the Gemara. What was on those three tefachim? Shabahen gimel gviim. There were three gviim, the kaftar, the ferach, and there was a kaftar and a ferach as well. So on that top three tefachim, what you ended up with was three gviim, a kaftar, a ferach. Now we said the gviim, the kaftar, the ferach was each a tefach. So how do you fit five tefachim into three tefachim? So here too, Rashi tells us the way it worked was as follows. There was a gviya tefach, another gviya tefach, and then on top of that, you had that same cheshbon. On that one tefach, you had a gviya kafta v'ferach all lined up side by side, depending on what direction you were looking at it from. That's how you get up to your 18th tefachim. So what's the recap? So the recap is as follows. The yerech of the menorah was made up of three tefachim. The actual yerech is two, and then that flower that's on top of it, that's the third. So that's three. You have two tefachim of nothing, that's five. Then you have one tefach that has a gviya kaft of a ferach all side by side, that's six. You have a new tefach, another two tefachim of nothing, that's eight. Then you have that first kaftar from where the two kanim are coming out, that's nine. A tefach of nothing, that's ten. The next kaftar from where you have the kanim coming out from is 11. A blank tefach, which is 12. Then you have, again, another kafta from where the last two kanim are coming from. That's 13. Two tefachim that are blank, that's 15. And then the last three is the three gvim, the one kafta and the one terach. The Gemara continues and says, what were these gvim all about? So loosely translated, they're cups or bechers, but what specifically did they look like? Kimin koisos Alexandrian. They looked like Alexandrian koisos, right? Like these little shot cups. Kafter l'mahin daimim. What did these knobs look like? Kimin tapuche hakresim. They actually looked more like apples than like knobs, apples that come from crazy. Prochem l'mahin daimim. What did the blimin look like? Kimin pirche ha'amudim. They looked like flat flowers that are engraved into beams. The Nimtzuhu, the Gemara continues and says that if you do the full math and you do the full sikum of the psukim in Parshas Truma and the way we just explained it, what you have is Gviyim Esrim Vishnayim, you have 22 Gviyim, Kaftoirim Achad Asar, 11 Kaftoirim, Prochim Tisha, and 9 Prochim. So what you end up with is 22 Gviyim, 11 kaftorim and 9 prachim. Additionally, gvim akvin zezer, the gvim were ma'ak of each other. I mean, you had to have all 22 of them. Kaftorim akvin zezer, the kaftorim were also ma'ak of, you had to have all 11 of them. And prachim akvin zezer, and the prachim were also ma'ak of, you had to have all 9 of them. Not just that, gvim, kaftorim, uprachim akvin zezer. The bottom line is these numbers are very scientific. You had to make sure that you weren't missing one gvim, not one kaftor, and not one perach. Either way, this is what Shmuel said over in the name of Sabbath. He gave us a lot of information related to the menorah. Number one, the height of the menorah was 18 tefachim, and he banged out exactly how you come to the 18 tefachim. He also explained what the gevir, the kafta v'ferach, were like, right? He gave it to you in somewhat exact detail. Not just that, did a little bit of math for us. There were 22 gvim, there were 11 kaftorim, and there were 9 prachim. Now the Gemara is going to try to fact check the math that Shmuel said over in the name of Sabbath. So the Gemara is like, Pish, let me give you a message, Mishnayim. I understand where Shmuel b'shmei the Sabbath saw in the Sukkim 22 gvim. The cheshbon's like this. The chesed, because it says ube menorah arba gvim. The guf of the menorah, that main kana, had 4 gvim. Now where were the 4 gvim? So if you're keeping cheshbon, there was that tefach towards the bottom menorah that was made up of a gvir, a kaft of a ferach, and then on the top three tefachim had 3 gvim and a kaft of a ferach. So the menorah itself, that main kana, what we refer to as the menorah, that had 4 gvim. Okay, viksiv, and it says shloisha gvim mishukadim bekana echa kaft of a ferach, that each one of the kanim had 3 gvim, one kafter and one ferach. Now, how many gvim were there? There were 6. So 6 times 3 is 18, plus 4 is 22. The Gemara does the math. Arba didei. So you have the 4 that's in the actual menorah, v'tamni sri dekanim, and then you have the 18 that are 6 times 3, ha'esen v'tartin. That's how you come up with the number 22. Kafterim, not me. The Gemara says, I also understand the methodology of the kafterim. How many kafterim did we say? There were 11. Echadas kafterim. I'll tell you the cheshbon. Trei dida. The guf of the menorah itself had 2. Why were there 2? Because there was the kafta of a ferach and the gviya on that one tefach towards the bottom, and then on top you had the 3 gviya, one kafta, one ferach. So there's one kafta on the bottom, one kafta on top. Okay. Vishisha dikanim. Additionally, each one of the kanim had a kafta. So if each one of the kanim had a kafta, so that's 6 times 1, that's 6. So what are we up to? We have the 2, right? The one that comes together with the gviya and the ferach. And then we have each one of the kanim as one. So now we're up to 8. So we're missing 3. V'kaftar, v'kaftar, v'kaftar. And then there's the 3 additional kaftars that are smack in the middle of the menorah. Right? The 2 kanim came out of a kaftar. So what are you left with? Hachatzar. You're left with 11. So the Gemara says, I chap 22, I chap 11. El prachim tisha min alon. L'cheru, what's the cheshmin of 9 prachim? And the Gemara says, let me tell you why I don't understand it. Because at first glance, this is my math. Tredida. I have the 2 prachim that were on the actual menorah, one on the bottom and one on top. The shish of the kanim, each one of the kanim had a kaft of a ferach. Okay, that's 2 plus 6. The math is tam nahav is 8. Where's the 9th? So we know the answer already. Amar Rav Shalom Ksiv, it says adyurecha ad pircha mikshoi. Right? It said adyurecha ad pircha. And we learn from this pasuk that there was a pircha on the yurecha. And what's the yerech of the menorah? It's that base. There was a perach on the base. That's that little perach that was all the way on the bottom. Right? And the makar to it is from this pasuk. That's how you end up with 9. So it's 22 gvim. It's 11 kaftorim. And it's 9. Amar Rav. Rav said, goyvish al menorah tishat fach. So Shmuel said, what was the height of the menorah? 18 tfachim. Rav said, what was the height of the menorah? It was 9 tfachim. Isvi Rav Simi Barchio the Rav. So Rav Simi Barchio asked Rav. Evan Hoysel from the menorah. There was a stone in front of the menorah. Uba Shalish Mailois. And there were 3 steps on this Evan Shalish. Koyin Oymeid. The Koyin was able to stand on that step. Umeitavasa Neirois. To do the Avodah with the Neirois. What's his kasha? Why was there a step there? There's like this little step stool. It's because the Koyin, if he wasn't tall enough to be able to do the Avodah, so like this, he'd have what to stand on. Now, Bishloima, if Goy Vashal Menorah is 18 tfachim, I hear. So maybe he's not tall enough for that. But if it's 9 tfachim, it's very small. So there's no reason you should need steps in order for the Kohen to be able to do this. So Rav Simi Barchia asked Rav this kasha Amalei. So Rav told him very cryptically, Simi at. You are Simi. Kiko Amina, when I said 9 tfachim, what I meant was Misfas Kanim Ulamailo. I meant from the point of the Kanim and upwards, that's where it's 9. And if you do the math, really, from the Kanim Lemailo, that's Taka 9 tfachim. You would have to cheshman from the top of the first kaftar, from where the 2 Kanim come out. And that's like the Iker part of the Menorah, right? That's where everything is going down, right? The bottom is just part of the base. And it's from that point that I'm cheshbening, and that's why I meant when I said 9. Now those words, simiat, is a little bit cryptic. We're going to talk about it Be'ezer Hashem later in the daf. Except the pasuk says, v'haperach v'haneiras v'hamilka chayim zov hu michloi zov. Now this pasuk is in Divrei Hayomim Beis, and it's talking about the menorah of Shlomo HaMelech. And it says, when Shlomo HaMelech built his menorah, so it was such that michloi zov, they literally consumed and they devoured and they literally took all the gold that they had access to. Thus, it was michloi zov. It literally consumed all the gold. The Gemara says, "My michloi zov." Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami said, "Shekilsu l'chov zov sagar shel shleim." All the zov sagar of Shleim HaMelech got wiped out. What does that mean, zov sagar? So the psukim describes the menorah that Shleim HaMelech built. So it says that he used specifically zov sagar. Zav Sagar is a very, very expensive type of gold. In fact, the Gemara says that the reason that gold was called Zav Sagar is because if you had a bunch of people that were selling gold and one person was selling Zav Sagar, everybody else had to close their stores because nobody was interested in buying the other gold. Everybody just wanted this one. This was so good, it literally put everybody else out of business. But either way, says the Gemara, that why was the gold called Michloi Zav? So Rav Ami said that it's based on this idea that Shlomo HaMelech had to use all the Zav Sagar. What's the rest of the story? Shlomo HaMelech didn't just make one menorah, but he made 10 menorahs. By the way, if this is coming as news, it shouldn't. It's Pesukim Menach. But we'll see a lot more about it in Sugyas towards the end of Masechtas Menachos. This is something the Gemara talks about in great detail. Specifically, where were these menorahs? Like, all these menorahs, where exactly were they? But either way, so Shlomo HaMelech had 10 menorahs. And the way he made these 10 menorahs is for each one of the menorahs, he took 1,000 kikrei zov. That's a ridiculous amount of gold. And what he did was he put it into the refinery and he refined it 1,000 times. Then he do al kikar, and after refining it 1,000 times, it ended up being a kikar. So it started off 1,000 kikar, and after 1,000 refinements, it ended up a kikar. So how much did it get refined each time? So it's some fraction of 1,000, right? But the bottom line is, after 1,000 after 1,000 refinements, it ended up being a kikar. But here's the point. The point is that the reason it was called Michloi Zav is because Shlomo HaMelech built 10 menorahs. Each menorah started off with 1,000 kikars of gold. So that's a lot of gold. And because of that, he basically wiped out the whole Gishap. Is that true? After Shlomo HaMelech built the menorahs, there was no more gold. Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, now this is a long Pasuk, but the Shita Mekubal Betzes takes out the first two lines. So we're going to skip to Ein Kesef Nechshav Bimei Shlomo L'Mei Umah. It says that in times of Shlomo HaMelech, there was so much Ashiris that money didn't even have any value. So how could you tell me that he wiped out gold, right? It sounds like we're saying there was nothing left. He made a dent in the economy. What happened to Ein Kesef Nechshav Bimei Shlomo? So the Gemara says, Zav Sagar Karmina. We don't mean there was no gold anymore. There were a lot of very, very valuable things. But this particular type of gold, which is very chashav of gold, Shlomo HaMelech ended up using everything. But the Gemara asks another question. Is that true that every time they would put the gold into the refinery, so it would knock out so much, right? It started off 1,000 kikars, and then every time it lost a kikar, right? Now, it didn't literally lose a kikar every time, but it just kept on getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So the Gemara says, is that true? But Tanya Ben Huntin Abraisi, Rabbi Itz, Rabbi Yudayim, Rabbi Yudayim, they said, Maisa, there was a story of a Hoysim and Eris Beis HaMikdash, Yisera al Shal Moshe Bediner Zov, Kurdikini. So this was one of Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs, Rashi says, and it was a little bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, the pasuk said, was a kikar, right? That's why we're trying to get it to a kikar. But it was only a tiny bit more than a kikar. How much more? The size of a dinar zav kurdikini. So just think of some gold coin. It's not a lot. V'chnisu peim pa'amim l'kor. And they put it into this refinery 80 times. V'midu al kikar. To get it down to the kikar. So what does it sound like? It had to go through 80 times to get rid of that little tiny amount. And here it sounds like in 1,000 shots, you were able to knock out 999 kikars. So the ratios don't seem to be adding up. Here it sounds like 80 times just to get off a machu. So the Gemara says, kimin dekai kai. The way this works is that at some point, when there's such little gold, you would have to do that much more in order to get rid of that little. So when you start to go for the 1,000, it's easy to get it, you know, lower and lower. So you're hacking shticker towards the beginning. But then at some point, it's much harder to refine it. At kedekach, that it was at a point where it was almost a kikar, and you had to go through the refinery another 80 times in order to get it down to the actual kikar, more related to the menorah. Amr Shmuel ben Achmini, Amr Rabbi Yonasan. My dechsev, what's pshat in the pasuk that says, Ala menorah hatahira yarech es haneirois lefnei Hashem tam. Now this pasuk is in Parshas Emor. Where's the ikar parsha of the menorah? It's in Parshas Truma. Then it's Ibige Chazert in Parshas Vayaka. But really, the story of the menorah is mentioned in a bunch of places, right? The pasuk that we mentioned earlier, Ad Yerecha Ad Pircha Mikshahi, that's in Parshas Baloischa, Baloischa Saneiros. This pasuk ala menorah hatahira is a pasuk in Parshas Emor. You also have in Parshas Tetzava, the Shemen Zayazach, right? So the story of the menorah is actually mentioned a lot in the Torah. This pasuk is in Parshas Emor. Ala menorah hatahirah. So the question is, why do we refer to the menorah as being tahirah? Said Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, sheyardu maseh mimakom tahirah. The reason is because the menorah came down from Shemayim, which is a makom tahir, and that's why the menorah is referred to as a menorah tahir. The Gemara says, "Elam yato ibazoi." The pasuk refers to the shulchan as ala shulchan atar. So you're going to tell me sheyardu maisa mi makom tahir, right? Is that the same thing? Probably not. The shulchan also came down from Shemayim. Now, at this point, you're going to say, I don't know, why not? If the menorah could have came down from Shemayim, why can't the shulchan come down from Shemayim? But the Gemara is assuming that's probably not the pshat. Elo, what then does the pasuk probably mean when it says, ala shulchan hatar, tar michlal shehu tameh? What it means is that it's tar as opposed to being in a state of tameh. In other words, the Torah referred to the shulchan as a shulchan tar to teach me that the shulchan is mekabel tumah. And right now, however, it's in a state of taira. No, hachinami, it's probably the reason the Torah referred to the menorah as a menorah taira is to teach me taira b'chal shitmeya, that it's something that's makabel tumo, but lav davka, that it came down from Shemayim. The Gemara says, I disagree. Meaning, I think you're right. Ala shulchan atar is kaloima that it's makabel tumo, but as it relates to ala menorah taira, I don't think it's coming to teach me that it's makabel tumo. I think it's coming to teach me that it came down from Shemayim. And I'll tell you what. Because bishlema hasan, bishlema as it relates to the shulchan, there's a chiddush in saying that the shulchan was mekabel tumah. You know why? Because the Reish Lakish. In fact, the chiddush is what Reish Lakish tam. Reish Lakish might say what's behind the pasuk. It says al shulchan atar mechlal shehu tameh. It seems to imply that the shulchan is mekabel tumah. Kliyetz asu lenachasu. L'cher, the shulchan was made of wood, and it was also asu lenachas. It was something that was made to remain stationary. V'chol kliyetz asu lenachas in mekabel tumah. And in the laws of tumah v'tahira, if you have something that's made of wood and it's stationary, it's not mekabel tumah. So Reish Lakish said, what do you see from this pasuk? You see that the shulchan, even though though it was asul lenachas, but sometimes they would move it. As a matter of fact, when the Ilu Regalim would come, they would lift the shulchan, umar lehem lechem aponim, and they would show them the lechem aponim, va'omer lehem, and they would tell them, ru'uchi baschem lefnei amakim. Look at how much Hashem loves you. Ma'ichi baschem. Where did they see from the lechem aponim that Hashem loves them? Because Rabbi Shulam ben Levi, it's based on Rabbi Shulam ben Levi, said, Rabbi Shulam ben Levi, neskot l'nasav lechem aponim. There was a great miracle that occurred with the lechem aponim. Silukai kesiduroi. That the lechem aponim was as hot and was as fresh when they removed it from the lechem aponim as it was when they placed it on the lechem aponim. Remember, we know that because the pasuk says losum lechem cham biyoyim hilakchay. That the day the lechem was removed, at that point it was lechem cham. It's a big chiddush because the lechem aponim remained on the shulchan for a week from Shabbos to Shabbos, and afilu hachi, it was still hot when it was removed. So they would say ruchi baschem lefnei amakim. So the Gemara says, I understand why the Torah would refer to the shulchan as a shulchan atar to teach me that it's mekabel tumah. What do I need to know that it's mekabel tumah? It means it's not a kliyos asur lenachas. What's the limud in that? That they would lift the shulchan. So by telling me a shulchan atar, I know that they would lift the shulchan. Okay, there's something that's being learned from that. Ela hacha tahira michlal sheitmeya. But does the Torah need to tell me that the menorah is a tahira, that it's mekabel tuma? Pshita, it's pashit, it's mekabel tuma. Kli matches tu, because it was made of gold, it's made of a metal. Kli matches mekabel tuma, and kli matches is mekabel tuma. So there's no chiddush in telling me ala menorah tahira. To tell me ala shulchan atar that it's mekabel tuma is a chiddush, because you would have thought it's a kli eitz asul lenachas. Kamash malon, they used to lift it. So there's a chiddush going on here. It's mekabel tuma, there's a chiddush. That they used to lift it is a chiddush. There's limudim to be taken out of the word hashulchan atar, but to tell me I'm a neira tahir, it's pasha. What's the chiddush that it's mekabel tuma? Why would it not be mekabel tuma? In the world of tuma v'tahira, there's zero chiddush in the fact that it's mekabel tuma. Ela must be this different limud sheyardu maseha mimakam tahira. Pshat must be that it came down from heaven. Tanya Rabbi Yudaim, elaborate on this. He said aroin shal eish v'shulchan shal eish u'menoira shal eish yardu menashamayim. There was an aron made of fire and a shulchan made of fire and a menoira made of fire that came down from Shabbat. Murah Moshe saw them for Asaka Moisam, and he then knew what exactly he had to do. As the pasuk says, Ureva Seketav Nisan Asherat Marabahar. Right? You should go ahead and do it exactly as it was shown to you on the mountain. Oh, so you say, Meretz, what do you see from here? That it was shown to Moshe on the mountain. The Meretz says, the pasuk says, Vaki Moshe has a Mishkan Kimishpote Asheresa Bahar. Shem told Moshe the same thing about the Mishkan. Hachinami, are you going to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe the entire Mishkan? Right? Even you're not saying that. But if this is your Makar, then Lucharit should be true for the Mishkan as well. So the Meretz says, no, there's a difference. Hacha ksiv ki mishpatay, hasam ksiv ki tav nisan. Vaki moise es ham mishgan ki mishpatay asher heise bahar. What does that sound like, Zakrashi? I showed you the halachas. The halachas you saw. Oh, but as it relates to the menorah, here the pasuk says, ure'eva asay bitav nisan asher atem more bahar. Bitav nisan asher atem more bahar. I showed you the tavnis. I showed you the physical structure of it on the mountain. That's a whole different deal. That's why when it comes to the Mishkan, we don't darshan it. When it comes to the menorah, we do darshan it. More on this note. Amrab chibarab, amrab yoichanon. Gavriel, chogor kimin psik yahaya. The Malach Gavriel came, and he was wearing like a belt. So Rashi says this is a belt that the smiths, the artisans, used to wear. So he came down looking like a blue-collar worker. The Herod of Moshe, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu Masa Menorah, the Maisa, the Menorah. He showed him exactly what the Menorah is supposed to look like, the Chsiv. As the Pasuk says, Vizeh Maisa Menorah. What does Vizeh always mean? You're pointing at something. So Gavriel literally came down with the Shmoyne Begadim, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu exactly how the menorah is supposed to be built. More on this note. There were three things that Moshe was having a very difficult time understanding. From all the things Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, there were three parshins in the Torah that he found very hard. Until Kadosh Baruch Hu pointed to Moshe with his finger, menorah, the chesiv is a masa menorah. the pasuk that we just mentioned, Rish Chodesh, Tichsev, everybody knows this, HaChodesh Zezalachem, Rish Chodashim, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was having a hard time knowing when it's the Moilid, when you're supposed to go ahead and Banai the Chodesh, and Shrotzim, Tichsev, Zezalachem, HaTameh, that he had a hard time with the Shrotzim. In the Briska Shiurim, they have a big Arichas, why Moshe Rabbeinu had such a hard time with the Shrotzim. They say, oh, for Reb Chaim, the Reb Chaim said that when it comes to all kosher animals versus non-kosher animals, this Simonim, right? Snapper v'kaskeses, split hooves, does it chew its cud? But by the shrotzim, there's no simonim. So by the shrotzim, Moshe Rabbeinu literally had to know what the sheretz was. And that's what he was finding kosher. But either way, says the Gemara v'yeshoyim, some say, afil cheshchita. Shchita is another thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was having a hard time with. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'ze ashetasa ala mizbeach. Okay, and the shchita is the first avoida ala mizbeach. Right? That's the first of the avoidas. That's how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was having a hard time with regards to shchita as well. Either way, this concludes the menorah portion of today's daf. It began with detailing the physical structure of the menorah, from its height to all the gviim and the kafters and the ferachs. From there we went and we talked a little bit about Shlomo HaMelech's menorah, Shlomo HaMelech's 10 menorahs, how it consumed all the Zahav Sagar that existed at the time. And then from there we talked about how Moshe Rabbeinu was struggling to build a menorah. It was something he was having a hard time with. And a bunch of different lashonos of Chazal of how it was Heruleimen HaShamayim, literally, that it had to come from Shamayim for Moshe Rabbeinu to have a good understanding of the menorah. This is something that we're going to get back to Be'ezah Hashem during the raid portion of the daf. But the Gemara now is about to make a very, very sharp right turn. Not a left turn, this is a right turn. And we're about to enter the world of Stam, the world of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, something that requires an introduction. There's no time for it for now. But referring back to the Mishnah had said, Shtei parshiyos shemezuzah ma'akvei zu hazu. The two parshiyos of the mezuzah are ma'akvei each other. I mean, you can't have a mezuzah with one parshiyah. Either you have two parshiyos or you have no parshiyos. And then the Mishnah said, Va'afilu ksav echad ma'akvan. That even one ksav, meaning one letter, is even ma'akvei. So it has to be two parshiyos, and each one of these parshiyos have to be 100% perfect, says the Gemara. Pshita, it's all pashit. What's pshita? That ksav echad is ma'akev. It's obvious. Now, why is it so obvious? So Rashi says, because it says in the parsha of the mezuzahs, right, the parsha of Kriyashma, uchsavtam, and from the word uchsavtam, we learn that it has to be a ksivatam, it has to be complete. So if you're missing an oisachas, it's not complete. So the Gemara says, why does the Tan of the Mishnah have to tell me something that every single person in the world knows? I'm Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah send the name of Rav, Le-Nitzvah, there's a little bit of a chiddush. You know what the chiddush is? Kutza shal yod. That even if you're missing the kutza shal yod, even that's a problem. But the Gemara says, v'hanami pshita. That's also obvious. Ela zok the Gemara, you have to say, l'chidi idach Rav Yudah Marav. Pshat is, for something else, we descend the name of Rav. Rav Yudah Marav, we descend the name of Rav. Kol ois, any ois she'ein gvil mukaf la mi'ar baruch hisel, that doesn't have klaf surrounding it on all four sides. Meaning, an ois has to be independent, living on an island, as opposed to being attached to an ois that's next to it, that's right, that's left, above it, beneath it, that is not mukav me'arba ruchaisah. And in that case, it's going to be psul, that's already a little bit of a chiddush, and that's what the Tanya of the Mishnah is coming to teach me. There's an interesting machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, what the definition of the kutza shal yod is. So this is the infamous kutza shal yod, right? So what is the taich? What is the definition of the kutza shal yod? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, kutza shal yod, regal yamini shal yod. It's the right foot of the yod. So that little shtrechel that comes out on the bottom, that's what it is. Taisva says, it can't be that's what it is. You know why? Because if that's what it is, it's so poshit that if an ois is missing that, it would be puzzle, that how could the Gemara have had a havamina that the chiddush of the Mishnah is the kutza shal yod? Now just meditate on Taisva's kasha for 1 second. Well, let's chaz over the Gemara. The Mishnah said that if an ksav echad is missing its ma'akev, right, the Gemara pshita, Rav Yudah Marav, the chiddush is the kutza shal yod. But the Gemara said, v'onami pshita, it's also pashit. So Taisva's Rashi said that the kutza shal yod is that little thing, it's pshita. Isn't that the Gemara's kasha? That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara said, v'onami pshita. So what does Taisva's mean? Taisva's means that it's so pashit that it can't even be that there was a zahav amina, that should be the pshat, hagam, that the Gemara felt that whatever that hav amina was, it was pshita. Meaning, Even when the Gemara says something that's pshita, there had to be some level of chiddush. It can't be so pshita. So it says Tosfos that if what the Gemara means by kutzer shel yud is that part that makes up the actual DNA of the yud, well, it's too pshita for the Gemara to have had a havamina, even if the Gemara asks pshita. But the bottom line is, Tosfos says, so what is the kutzer shel yud? Tosfos said it's the little shtrechel that comes on the top of the yud. So on the top of the yud, there's a little shtrechel that bends forward, as we'll see more about on Amid Beis, and it's that's the kutzer shel yud. But the bottom line is, it's pshita that a ksav echad is ma'akiv. Even if it's missing that little shtrechel, the Gemara comes out, l'maisa is pshita. What then is the chiddush of ksav echad ma'akvan? The chiddush is that Tosfos has to be mukav. Gvil may arba rucha yisav. Zok tomor, amr ashim bar nadvach mishmeder rabi Yehuda. Nikav toicha shal hay. If the toich of the hay has a hole in it kosher, the hay is kosher. The ois. Yerechai. If the yerech has a hole in it pasul, it's going to be pasul. Now, Rashi brings two pshatim in what the toich of the hay and the yerech is. The last line of Rashi. The first pshat Rashi says is, toicha shal hay is regal shebifnim. It's the foot, the left foot of the hay, the one that's not attached to the other part of the hay. Yurecha is the regular yamanis, that's the right foot, that's the one that's attached to the resh part of the hay. Lishnachrina, Rashi brings another pshat, toichai is the gvil. The toich of the hay doesn't mean that the left foot. It means the gvil, the parchment that's inside, it's the hole of the donut, right? It's the hole of the hay. That's what the toich is. As opposed to the Yerecha, that's any part of the actual structure. Either way, Rashi is not machriya between the two pshatim, but Rashi does add something important. He says, ubetfilin kamayri. This Gemara that we're talking about now is negeya tfilin. Either way. So, Ashtim by Natvach send the name of the great Rav Yehuda, that if there's a nekiv in the toich of the hay, it's going to be kosher. Right? If it's in the Yerech, then it's going to be possible. Rav Zeir, said, Ludim Rif Shalem in Rav Yehuda. I heard in the name of Rav Huna, pshat, and what Rav Yehuda meant. Rav Yaakov said, Ludim Rif Shalem in Rav Yehuda. I heard it straight from Rav Yehuda, right? Rav Zeira said, I heard what Rav Huna said to explain Rav Yehuda. Rav Yaakov said, I heard directly from Rav Yehuda, and that is as follows. Nikiv toiche shol hei, kosher. If there's a nekiv in the toich of the hay, it's going to be kosher. Yurechai, if there's a hole in the yerech of the hay, im nishtayraboy, if there's a little bit of the hay left over, kishir ois ketana, the size of an ois ketana, what's the smallest ois? A yud. So if the right leg has a little substance to it, it's the size of a yud, kosher, it's still going to be kosher. Vim rav, it's only if the hole is to such a degree that you don't even have the size of a little yud there, pasul, then it's going to be pasul. Agra chamud rab abba, agra who is rab abba shver, if sikale kare de hay. So in his tefillin, one of the hays was missing a leg, which hay? De ha'am. So the hay of the ha'am was missing that right leg. B'nikfa, right? Because there was a hole there. Also, the comment of Rabbi came to Rabbi. He told him, if it's then is enough there, the size of a hay, kosher, it's going to be kosher. If not, puzzle, it's going to be puzzle. Another story. Rami Bar Tamri, the Hu Chamua, who is the Shver, the Rami Bar Dikuli, of Rami Bar Dikuli, Ifsikalei Karadavav. So he had a little hefsik, there was a hole in the Vav, which Vav? Of the word Vayarig, Vahiki Hiksha Parilush Alchenu Vayarig Hashem Kol Bechar Beretz Mitzrayim, Benikvan, again, there was a hole there. Also, the comment there, Rabzeir came to Rabzeir, he told him, still I see a nuka, go bring a child, but like Chacham, like tippish. Don't bring the smartest kid in Besmedrish, but also he shouldn't be a tippish. And ask him to read the word, Ikarile Vayarig, if he's going to read the word Vayarig, then it means it looks like a Vav, kosher, it's going to be kosher. And Eloi, if he's not going to read it Vayarig, but rather Yehoreg, oh, then that's already Yehoregu. And in that case, puzzle, it's actually going to be puzzle. One interesting sidebar, Rami Bar Tamri, the Chamua, the Rami Bar Dikuli. Right, Rami Bar Tamri was the Shver of Rami Bar Dikuli. The Poskim say, sounds like there was a Shver and an Edom that had the same name. We know that Rabbi Yudah Chassaron in the Sava, that there's people that have a Kpeda, right? He told the Anche Mishpachtoi that you should be Nizer and not do a Shidduch where the father-in-law and the son-in-law are going to have the same name. So you do it, the Neid Behuda has a tshuva where the Neid Behuda says that anything that it says in the Tzavar Behuda Chasid that's Kenega and Gemara is like Stam no Shaykhis. Right? He spoke very sharply about the Tzavar and Divrei Chaim, the Heilig Tzan Zerov said Sharo Dei Mare, the Ebeshe should be Moichel the Neid Behuda for the way he spoke about the Tzavar. We've gone through the tshuva from the Neid Behuda. He really wasn't even speaking so sharp about Tzava. He actually had a lot of chashivas for it. He just meant in terms of it being binding upon people, right? But the bottom line is this. This would, at first glance, maybe seem to be a mefurish gemara. All the places can bring this up. Rami bar Tamri, the huchamua, the Rami bar Dikuli. Stating that, if you take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes and in other Rishonim, they have a different gersa. Not Rami bar Tamri, the huchamua, the Rami bar Dikuli, but Rami bar Tamri, the hu Rami bar Dikuli. It almost makes sense because, forget about that, they're both named Rami, right? Memela. But he's Rami bar Tamri and he's Rami bar Dikuli. Somebody here had a sense of humor, right? A Tamar and a Dekel are both title boys, right? So, again, somebody was smirking. But the bottom line is, if it's a Shver and an Eden, then it's a Tzushtel to all that raid. If it's the same person, then it's not a Tzushtel to any raid. Either way, Zok the Gemara, I'm Rav Yudah my Rav. We descend in the name of Rav. And this Gemara we're about to learn now is from the most famous Gemaras ever. Shah, Shalom Moshe Lamarai. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim to be Mekabel the Torah. Matzalak HaDash Baruch Shiyosh V'Kayosh V'Ksarim L'Oisius. He saw that the Ebishter was sitting down and he was tying crowns on top of the Oisius. Amar Lefan, so Moshe Rabbeinu told HaKadosh Baruch, Ribbeinu Shalom, Mi Me'akva Yotcha. Pasha Pshat. Why are you putting these ksarim on top of the Oisius? You must be doing it for someone. To me, these ksarim are mechusar avana. Why are you doing this? Amaloi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Adam Echad Yesh, there's a person, Sha'as Elias B'Saif Kamadaris, he's going to be alive at the end of many generations. V'akiva ben Yosef Shemai. And his name is Akiva ben Yosef. Sha'asa lidresh al kol koitz for koitz, tilin tilin shal halachas. For every little koitz that you see, he's going to have piles of halachas and shtikloch ter. I'm the fun of. So Moshe Rabbeinu told the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Ribbeinu shal olam, Hareuli, I want to see this person. Amalaisi told him, Chazor la'acherecha. I want you to go backwards. Halach v'yoshav besoiv shmoyne shurois. So he went and he sat in the back of eight rows, and he heard Akiva ben Yosef saying shir on all these koitzin, tilin, tilin shal halachas, and he didn't understand it. Toshash koichi, yet chalish ladas, kivin shigil ladavar echad. When they came to one of the halachas, Amulay Talmidav, so Moshe Rabbeinu sees, had the Talmidav Rabbi Akiva ask Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi minayim lucha, how do you know this halacha? Amulay, and this, halacha l'moshe misinai. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard that this is halacha l'moshe misinai, he's saying over Torah in his name, that means this is something at some point he's going to learn. All of a sudden, he had yishavadas. Chazar uba lefnei HaKadosh Baruch. So Moshe Rabbeinu now leaves Rabbi Akiva Shir, and he goes back to the Eibishter. You have a person like this in this world, and you're giving the Torah through me. Why would you pick me if you have him? HaKadosh Baruch told Moshe, shtoik, be quiet, not another word. This is what my machshav is telling me not to do. Right? And being that that's what I feel, this is what we're... Just show me his incredible madrig of Torah. I want to see the schar that he's going to get. Go back again. He went back, raw, and he saw. He saw that they were weighing the boss of Rabbi Akiva, and they were selling it in the shuk, because he was killed in such a horrible way by the Romans. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu turned to HaKadosh Baruch, he said, Zu Torah v'zu schar. Amalisa, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Shtoy kach ola b'machshav lefanai. This is the way I want it to be. Now, this is a Gemara, again, that's from the most famous Gemaras in Shas. It's a Gemara that, Baruch Hashem, over the years, we've had the schos to learn together b'chabura so many times. It's a Gemara that maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after that, we're going to revisit. But for now, we have more work to do. Amar Rava, Rava said, Shiva oisiyos shrichos shloish ziyunim. There are seven oisiyos in the Torah, each one of which requires three ziyunim, three little koitzin on top of the ois. A lot of pictures on the Amid, by the way, that are helpful. The Elohein, shatnez gatz. So chin, ayin, tes, nun. By the way, Rashi says also endinin, zayin, gimel, tzadik, and also endit tzadik. But these are the seven oisiyos, and each one requires three. As a matter of fact, Rashi tells you exactly how the three work. Rashi says that the way it works is, it's always on the left side of the ois, and now he's on the left side of the ois, but the three are, one is facing the left, one is facing the right, and one is facing upwards. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, chazinu lul sifri dafkani dvei Rav. I saw the seifrim that are very medayik, all from the yeshiva of Rav, the chatri lahu the gagi the ches, that they do something not regarding a shin, ayin, tes, nun, zayin, gimel, tzadik, but they do something with a ches. And it's interesting. What they do is they make, by the top of the ches, they make it pointy. V'tolulei l'kari dehe, and not just that, they make sure that the leg of the hay is suspended. Now, what does it mean that they're chatri lohu legagi de ches? That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. And there's pictures for both. If you look at Rashi, there's a big ches. So Rashi shows this little koitz that comes out from the left side of the ches. That's what it means, the chatri legagi de ches. They make this little spitzel coming out. You take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maskel, the chatri legagi de ches. So first he brings Rashi's picture, and then he brings his own picture. So basically, the way they would make the ches is they would take two zions and have this triangle, this inverted V that connects the two sides, and that's this chatri lohu legagi de ches. Now the Gemara explains why did they do it. Chatri legagi de ches, kaloi mechayhu berumay shalaylam, because ches is miloshin chay, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is chay berumay shalaylam. The Sfar Makdoshim say that's why there's an inyan when you say Shema to be mayrich on the ches of Echad. Echad. It's related to this inyan of chatri lohu legagi de ches. But either way, that's chay, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is chay berumay shalaylam. Tovle lekari dehei. What's the inyan of being tolule lekari dehei? Why were they very makdoshim? But on that, it's based on what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya asked Rav Ami. He said, what's pshat in the pasuk that says, "Bitchu b'Hashem adayad ki beka Hashem tzur olam"? So we all know this pasuk. Bitchu b'Hashem adayad. Have betochin in the Eibush to adayad. Why? Ki beka Hashem tzur olam. So when Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya asked Rav Ami this kasha, he told him, you want to know what the pasuk means? I'll tell you what this pasuk means. This is Betachin 101, right? We can't run away from Betachin these days. Any person that relies, he puts his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eivish is going to protect him in Oilam Azal, Oilam Abba. That's what the pasuk is saying. What do you mean? Bitchu b'Hashem adayad. Right? Have Betachin in the Eivish. Put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki b'ka Hashem tzorei lamin. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rock of the world, not just the world, the worlds. Oilamim, Oilam Azal, and Oilam Abba. So the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda Nasiya told Rav Ami, no, I know the pasuk is telling you bitachon. I got it. But his question is something else. Amalei ano hachiko kashali. My kash is something else. My shno dechsiv ki b'ka, v'loi ksiv ka. What's that base? It should have said Kika Hashem Tzurei Lamin. What's the big Kika Hashem Tzurei Lamin? So Daddy told him, oh, that's a different kasha. And I'll explain it to you. Kedir Daresh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. It's based on a drasha that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi Dasha. Right? Stam Rabbi Yehuda and Shas is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So this comes from the great Rabbi Yehuda. Elu Shnei Olamos. Kika Hashem Tzurei Lamin is a remez to the two worlds. Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad Behei ve'echad Beyud. Bika means Beyud and Behei. The Yud is one world, the He is the other world. Now, which is which? Which one was created with the Yud? Which one was created with the He? The pasuk says, Elo Tadlus Shemayim Va'aretz. Behi Bara. This is a pasuk in the beginning of time, the beginning of Bereshis. So, Elo told us, Hashemayim Va'aretz, Behi Baram. Al Tikri Behi Baram, Ela Behe Baram. Have a Oimer, Elo Mazeh Behe. So, Behe Baram is told to Shemayim Va'aretz. Elo Mazeh was created with a He. Elo Mazeh Be'yud. And you see, Elo Mazeh was created with a Yud. They met never Elo Mazeh Behe. And he continued, did Rabbi Rabbi Loi. He said, why was Olam Hazeh created with a hay? Mipnei. I mean, this is the Yisoidei HaYisoidis of everything. Because it's Doimelach Sadra. The fact that there's a hay means on the bottom, there's a way out. Right? It's only surrounded on three sides. But on the bottom, it's completely open. And the symbolism in that is, Kaloroitz Allah says Yeitze. If you want to check out of this world, Rashi says, you want to be Yeitze Latar Basra? Go. Umay Tai Metal Yekare. Why is the bottom part of the hay not attached to the main part of the hay, right? The hay is a resh and like a little yud. So why is that suspended? Why is it not attached? Because we wanted to be a Pesach between the yud part of the hay and the main part of the hay. There's a way in. If somebody wants to do tshuva, he could do tshuva. Fake the Gemara ula aile bahach. What do you need two doors? Adur, you know, Atir Aros and Atir Aran, right? Why can't the same door be the one that you get in from and the one that you get out from? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The reason is because of the fact that Loi Mestaya Milsa, it's not so easy to get back in. Meaning, or at the very least, you need a Siyata Deshmaya to get back in. Kedir Reish Lakish, and it's based on something Reish Lakish said. Damer Reish Lakish said, might discuss what's behind the pasuk that says, Imle Leitzim Hu Yalutz, Ula Novim Yitin Chayin. We look from here like this. Baletar Messiah Noisai. If somebody wants to do good, Messiah Noisai. Ula Novim Yitin Chayin. We're going to help you. Baletame Poiskan Loi. Imle Leitzim, you want to be a Letz, Hu Yalutz will allow you. But we're not going to assist you. But what do you see from here? You see from here that you need a certain assistance by there being an extra door. Rashi says, we're showing that But that's a tzveite Pesach, so to speak, to be able to get in. Umaytime islay tago. Why isn't there a crown on top of the hay? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Im chayzer boy. Because if a person does tshuva and he koyshe loy kesher, I'm going to tie a crown on this person's head. Tshuva is not a bidiyevid. If a person gets a tshuva, he's going to end up with a crown. It's unbelievable. And then he continued. He said, okay, that explains the hay. Wow, I got like a whole inspirational response. He said, what about Olam Haba? Why is that with it? Yud, Mibnesh, Tzadikim, Shabbai, Muatim. The Yud is very small because in Olam Haba, unfortunately, he says, why does the Yud bend a little bit? So we mentioned that little, what Tosfos referred to as the Kutzei Shel Yud, but that little kites on the top of the Yud, it bends a little bit forward. Why does it bend? It's because it's tzaddikim that are in Olam Haba. The Yud represents Olam Haba. They bend. Rashi gives a very interesting reason. It's because they look at each other and they're embarrassed. Because this tzaddik looks at that tzaddik. He says, wow, what a tzaddik. And this tzaddik looks at that tzaddik, what a tzaddik. And each tzaddik doesn't feel so good about himself. And as a result, they end up a little hunched over. And that's symbolized with that little kutz that's on top of the yud, that's kafuf. Again, because the yud represents Olam Haba, and the tzaddikim and Olam Haba are walking around in that state. Either way, we're going to stop here. We learned almost a blot and a half, and a fully loaded blot and a half. As it relates to Raid, we wouldn't even know where to start and where to end. But just we'll get the inyan going a little bit, and then Be'ezer Hashem, maybe we'll be mamshech in the next day or two, referring back here to Menachas Daf Chaf Tes. And that is the first part of the daf discussed halachos related to the menorah. The height of the menorah, the givyeah, kaftareah, uprocheah of the menorah, and also how exactly the menorah was built. Everyone knows. Rashi says in Parshas Truma, the pasuk says, v'asisa menorah zahav tar, miksha teyaseh ha-menorah. Zok Rashi, teyase ha-menorah is a funny lashon. Me'eleha. You see from here that the menorah was made by itself. What does that mean? L'fisha here, Moshe miskasheba. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was giving the tzivah of the menorah, he was miskasheba. He didn't really know exactly how to make it. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no worries. Hashlech es ha-kikar l'or, take the kikar, throw it into the fire, v'hinases me'eleha, and it's going to be made by itself. L'kach lo'y nichtav tase. That's why it says, teyase ha-menorah. So the lashon of teyase ha-menorah is because the menorah was built by itself. I saw that in the Shiurim for Meir Alevi, Ramey Soloveitchik asked that L'chayri, the beginning of the Pasuk says, V'asisa menorah zahavtar, thou shalt make a menorah. If the menorah ends up being teyasa menorah, it ends up being built by itself, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make the menorah, the fire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the menorah. So how was Moshe Rabbeinu mekayim the mitzvah of V'asisa menorah zahavtar? I mean, it's a very nice miracle, we all know this. But at the same time, there was a mitzvah, there was a tzivu, V'asisa menorah zahavtar. And L'chura, by the menorah just coming out of the fire, v'inasis me'eleh, wouldn't that undermine Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to go ahead and build a menorah? He was moisif that it's mevura in the briska shiurim that there was a din l'shma in the asiyah sakelim. So not only do you have to build a menorah, it requires l'shma, which means there's a chalais l'shma that has to be chal inside the menorah. By the menorah being nasis me'eleh, wouldn't that, at first glance, mean that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't build a menorah? But said Ramei Alevi, you have to say, and l'chayr it's pashet, that being that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make the menorah, that means the oifen asiyas ha-menorah was hashlech es ha-kikar l'or. That was the way that Moshe Rabbeinu made the menorah. And enochinami, when Moshe Rabbeinu took the kikar and he threw it into the fire, he was mekayim the mitzvah of asiyas ha-menorah zahavtar. And when he threw it into the fire, he had to be mechavan l'shma, l'shem mitzvah asiyas ha-menorah. Because the Oifen Asiyas HaMenorah, said Rameir HaLevi, was Hashlech HaSakika L'Orvi Nasis Me'eleh. It wasn't like a B'dievet plan B. I don't know how to make it, so instead let me just throw it. No. The throwing in was the Oifen Asiyah. What was Niskala was that you're going to build the menorah in a different way than you're going to build the other Kalim. The other Kalim you're going to build literally with craftsmen. But the way you're going to build up the menorah is Hashlech HaSakika L'Orvi Hinasis Me'eleh. But for sure, when Moshe Rabbeinu did that, it was Niskayim for Asisa Menorah Zav Tar. And it's for that reason he was Mekayim the Mitzvah. And there's no question in the world he had to do it with a Kavanah L'Shma. But there's another problem on this Rashi. In this Kasha, is not Rameir Levi's kasha. This kasha, every single one of the Mefarshei Rashi has. So if you open up the Yud Aleph Mefarshei Rashi, or any Rishonim Upershone Rashi, any Rashi Sefer that you have, every single Mefarsh on Rashi, from the Re'eim to the Gur Aryeh, they all ask the same kasha. And that is, at first glance, this Rashi does not stim with a half a Amid Gemara Mesechtes Menachis. Daf Chav Tes Tamar Aleph. We learned the Gemara. The Gemara said, Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Orin Shal Eish, V'Shulchan Shal Eish, U'Menoira Shal Eish, Yardu Men HaShemayim, V'Ram Moshe V'Asa K'Moysam. Moshe Rabbeinu saw them, and he went ahead, and he did what he was shown. Tanya V'Rabbi Shmuel, Shalosh Advarim HaYikashon Loi L'Moshe, Atchehera Lai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'ed Spoy, V'Elu Hein Menoira V'Rosh Chodesh U'Shratzim, Menoira D'Chsiv, V'Zeh Ma'isei HaMenoira. But what was the point? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to do it, so the Eibishter showed him the Menoira, and by showing him the Menoira, now he taken knew what to do. But at first glance, all our Gemaras and Menachas Chavtes and Aleph seemed to scream that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Menoira, albeit he didn't lechatchila know how to do it. It was very difficult. It was very challenging. But Lameisa, once he was explained and once he was told exactly how to do it, at that point, hatashonemo fashtanin, exactly how you're supposed to go ahead and do it, and he did it. How does it stem with this Rashi that Moshe Rabbeinu never built the Menorah, but rather Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu hashlech hasakika lo'or v'hinasis me'ilah. And just to be moisif to the kasha, if you look at Rashi later in Parshas Truma, it's literally 10 psukim later, on the pasuk Ureva asei betavnison asher atemore bahar, pasuk that the Gemara quoted in today's daf, Rashi over there says Magich and his kasha Moshe b'maisa Menorah, the Moshe Rabbeinu was having a difficult time understanding the Ma'isa Menorah, Acheher Leah Kodesh Baruch Hu Menorah Shalesh, and Lachera, the Isfer is, and then Moshe Rabbeinu knew what to do. At first glance, these two Rashis, really these two Chazals, this first Rashi is a Tanchuma. So there seems to be a big stira in terms of how exactly Menorah was built. Now there's a common denominator between these two Chazals. The common denominator is that both are suggesting that Moshe Rabbeinu was having a very hard time with the Menorah. But in terms of, therefore, next steps, what happened after that, Rashi, in the beginning of Vasisa Menorah Zav Tar, quotes the Tanchuma that says, Moshe Rabbeinu took the kikar of Zav, he threw it into the Eish, and it was Nasas Me'eleh. And at the end of the parsha of Vasisa Menorah Zav Tar, Rashi seems to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a Menorah Shel Eish, and then Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly what it was that he was supposed to do. So if you look at the Mefarshei Rashi, there's a lot of different Mahalchim to explain it. The Maral in the Gur Aryeh says a Dover Nifla. He says, V'yesh loymer, devadai tzorich laharis l'moysha ad sheyeda v'heven tafnes ha-menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to build a menorah, even if it was going to happen al derech nes, even if it was going to happen by taking the kikar shel zav and throwing it into the fire, had to first understand and have a mahalach of how the menorah was going to be built. And the reason is because miracles, say the Maral, don't happen in a vacuum. People sometimes wait for the miracle to happen, but really it's not usually the way miracles take place. The mahalach, the shulchan aruch of nisim is that a person does a shtadlis, and a person does and tries to do as much as he can possibly do, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're trying, you're putting in the effort, I'm going to take over, and I'm going to take it to the finish line, and I'm going to make sure it happens. So says the Maral, Moshe Rabbeinu had to start the Ma'isa Menorah, and because he had to start the Ma'isa Menorah, he had to see exactly how it was going to be. But at the same time, once Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Ma'isa Menorah, it was very hard, and he started working it. The Eibishter said, you know what? It's fine. I got this. Take it, throw it into the fire, and you're going to see that everything is going to be okay. But the point is that this is the derech, this is the mahalach, says the Maral of Nisan. For a nes to happen, you also have to make a shtadlis. Right? It's a fascinating thing. We always know a shtadlis, and balancing a shtadlis and betochen. So of course, a person has to make a shtadlis. That's aleph beis. If you don't make a shtadlis, nothing is going to happen. Fanisim daf menoichet machin a shtadlis. You want a nes to happen, you have to make a shtadlis. And the Maral goes ahead, and the Maral says, I'm going to prove it to you. He says, because look at all the nisim and aflois that took place when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. We just went through it together in Chumash here. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu is taking a stick, and he's hitting this, and he's hitting that. He says, Va'av kriyus yamsuf, shoye maisa Hashem, in locha maisa Hashem gedoi v'migzu, k'sin va'ate hore matcha ufkoeyo. Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had to do some sort of pula. What's the Inyan? The Inyan is because Moshe Rabbeinu had to make some sort of a shtablis. And once you make episode shtablis, at least start, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take over. But here's the Yisoy that the Maral is saying, that things that happen B'derech HaTeva require a shtablis, Nisim also require a shtablis. The truth is, no Teva, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyways. And the truth is, Alts Fort Normet Hishtadlis. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to make some hishtadlis when it came to making the menorah. The problem is he had no idea. The imamish didn't know. So they had to show Moshe Rabbeinu a menorah shalesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu started working on it. And that's the sugya is a menorah is chavtesam aral. But the minute Moshe Rabbeinu started working on it, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe and he told him, you know what? It's going to happen al derech nes. I got this. Just take the kikras off. Just throw it into the fire. V'nasis me'ilel. The gemara menorah is chavtes is emes. The tanchuma is emes. That's where Rashi quotes both of them. Tziagadol of Reya. The way the menorah was built, it was started with Moshe Rabbeinu's Va'asisa es menorah zav tar, but it concluded with Miksha Teyasa HaMenorah, with the taka happening on its own. That's the first aura. The second aura is, so we're talking about the Gevi'im and the Kafta V'Ferach of the menorah. There's a well-known expression in Jewish literature. Somebody says a good vart, kafta v'ferach, right? It has a makar. The makar is a brachus rabbi. It's in Parshas Mikes. It's Sadek Aleph Yud Aleph. Reb Chanina v'Ramarinus. Tarvayon Amr b'shem Abba Nehiroi. They both said over in the name of Abba Nehiroi. The Peshosh haya Adam Oymer Dover Mesugim Lefnei Reb Tarfin. When somebody would say a Geshmak is achter Reb Tarfin, haya Oymer Reb Tarfin used to say Kafta v'Ferach. So the makar to this expression, this nusach of Kafta v'Ferach, it comes from the great Reb Tarfin. Truth is, there are other expressions, right? The Divrei Pi Chacham Chein. Sfasayim Yishak, right? By the way, there's the other expressions as well, like I hear or get out. But there's different expressions. All of them, if you think about them, you know, make sense. They're very intuitive, exactly what the Havana of the expression is. Kafta v'Ferach is like a little bit of a surprising nusach. Reb Tarfin used to say, Kafta v'Ferach. Like, is that a compliment, right? I don't know, if it was me, I would say, did I just say good or not say good? Like, you're not even sure. But Kafta v'Ferach was Reb Tarfin's nusach, and at first glance, it's Eina Yoyme Elor Darsheni. What's Pashup Shad in this nusach? So I saw in the Sefer Nezer HaKodesh from Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Migaluga. He was a great guy, and he's buried in the old cemetery in Vienna, for anyone that's ever been there. But he wrote a pirish on Medrash Rabbah, and it's a shtickle up in Nixter, but it's like a Kabbalah light, as they say. And there's definitely things there that are understandable. And on this Medrash, he shtelsu a Zohar HaKodesh. This is a Zohar that's Mufursim. In Shulchan Aruch, this Zohar is brought down. We have Fartiger rate bites on this Zohar. But the gist of the Zohar is as follows. And that is, the Zohar talks about how there's an inyan for a person to be Mechadish Torah on Shabbos. Specifically, if somebody has a father or a mother that are not alive, and he is Mechadish Torah on Shabbos, the Chiddush is something that this person's father or mother is going to have a tremendous hanav from in the next world. And by the way, the Svar Makdoshim say that it doesn't even have to be a chiddush that no one ever said, right? A davar chadash lecha, you learn something you've never learned, could be that's also considered a chiddush. But there's an inyan, in Shulchan Aruch, this is already brought down in Hilcha Shabbos. Parenthetically, the Arizal said that the fourth commandment is Zohar Yom Shabbos L'Kachoy. The fifth commandment is Kabid Es Avicha Ves Imecha. So what's the connection between the Dibur of Shabbos and the Dibur of Kibbut Aveim? So the Arizal said, and I quote, the reason is, Ki chayiv l'chadish divrei Torah b'Shabbos. A person has an obligation to say a chiddush on Shabbos. Ukisha haben mechadish divrei Torah. And when a son is mechadish divrei Torah, his father gets tremendous covet in the next world. Ulozes somach sh'aroitza l'chabed av avimoy. That if somebody wants to be mechabed his father and his mother, yisker b'yei ma'Shabbos v'chadish divrei Torah v'zeu k'foydem ha'emes. That's the emes of covet a person can give his father and mother by being mechadish Torah. And that's the smichus between Zohar Yom HaShabbos l'kachay and kabbidis avicha vesimecha. That if you want to be mekayim kabbidis avicha vesimecha, zocher is yom Shabbos. Gedenk on Shabbos. What should you gedenk? Right, Eden. Forgets the Shabbos. Gedenk Shabbos. Heat Shabbos. Remember to be mechadish Torah on Shabbos. This is a madrega, because when someone's mechadish Torah on Shabbos, he's mekayim the spitz madrega of kabbidis avicha vesimecha. But anyways, that's what's going on over here in this Zohar. It's in Parsha Shlach. It's Daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Amen Aleph. But just to read one paragraph to get a sense of what the Zohar is saying. Tosha manu butzina kadisha. The kama yokar al yokar. How much kovet al gabi kovet. Va'atara al atara. And crowns on top of crowns. Ma'atrin la'avu dahar banosh tamon. Do we put on the father of a person, b'shaita d'omar kucha b'richu, iskanshu l'mishma chidushu mil chadetin d'ayraisa mishmei d'ployni bar ployni. Somebody quokes and somebody says a chiddush on Shabbos. Somebody today sat down and he said a chiddush. In Shemayim, they call this person's father. And they bring him in, and the Eibishter comes, and they give him kovet al gabi kovet, and they put a crown on his head, and they put another crown on his head. And the Eibishter literally says, "Iskanshu, I want everybody to come to hear this chiddush that Pliny bar Pliny said. Kamo inun, denoshkan al reshe. Imagine. And then all the tzaddikim come, and they line up, and they kiss this father on the forehead. And then the tzaddikim, they line up and they take a crown and they put it on the head of this father. He didn't do anything. His son is sitting somewhere in a study. He's harving and learning. And in the schus of what the son is doing, all of a sudden this father is getting this unbelievable covet. And the Zohar goes on and it's maflik ba'ifa nifla. But said the Nezer, ha'koydesh adover nifla. He said, you know, see from here that if somebody learns Torah, that as a reward for the Torah that he learns, they go to the father and they ma'ater him. They put crowns on his head. They kiss him. They make him look beautiful. They give him this incredible covet. He said, what was the kaft of a ferach? The kaft of a ferach, the givyeh, kaftereu, frachel, was there to beautify the menorah. It was to make the menorah shouldn't just look like a candelabra. It should have this intricate design. Right, the Gemara said, the givyim were the Alexandria shot cups, and the kaftereim came from this place, and the frachel, look at certain beams, and you get to see what it's like. It's beautifying the menorah. Zat bashaint the menorah. He said, when somebody says a chiddush in Torah, somebody says something geschmack in learning, you know what they do? They bashain the person's father in the next world. His chiddush of Torah is the kaft of a ferach. And he says, by the way, it's not punk that it's the menorah, because we know reitzel lahachkim yadrin, and the oir of the menorah represented the oir of Torah ki yadu, and all the chiddush svarim. But the bottom line is, the reason Rav Tarfon used to say kaft of a ferach is because there was an inyan that when a person says a chiddush Torah, it's the kaft of a ferach. Kaft of a ferach for the person's own neshama. It's a kaft of a ferach for the neshama of the person's father, the neshama of the person's mother. And that's this remez over here of kaft of a ferach that we're mentioning over here. So on the theme of kaft of a ferach, I just want to end with one last ta'ara. That's mamish kaft of a ferach from the great Goyen, Reb Reuven Margolis. And that is, so the Gemara said here on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, so Rav said the height of the menorah was 9 tefachim. So Rav Simi Bar Chia turned to Rav and he said, 9 tefachim, it can't be. He said there were steps to get up to the menorah. It can't be, it was so small, because you wouldn't have needed steps for it. Amalei, so what does Rav tell Rav Simi Bar Chia? He tells him, Simiat. Well, by the way, the right way to say this is Shimiat, but in Yeshiva, I'm pretty sure it's Simi and not Shimi. So we're going to go with Simi, forgive me. Simiat! Kiko Amina Misfas Konim Alamayli went ahead and he explained it. Tells him, Simiat! Okay, right? Again, is that a compliment? What does that mean, Simiat? So if you take a look at Rashi says, Dibra Maschol, Simiat, Atahu Amakshali. Bitmiya! Oh, very good, Bitmiya. That's the punchline. Are you Simi? You're the one that's asking me this kasha? Simiyat, it's a little bit funny, right? This nusach of Simiyat, believe it or not, that rhymes, is mentioned in a lot of different places in Shas. As a matter of fact, it's also mentioned Likamon here in Masechtas Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. It's in Becheiros Daf Chav Gimel. It's in Becheiros Daf Mem Dalet. It's in Nida Daf Chav Tas. Always the same thing. Rav is talking to Rav Simi Bar Chia, and he tells him Simiyat. As a matter of fact, Rashi, Masechtas Nida, Daf Chaf Dalet, has a whole arichas, a long Rashi there. And Rashi says, Bekam Duchten Ashkechon, de Mahadalei Rav Hachi Simiyat. And he says, I'm trying to figure out a pshat. So he says, V'nira be'ena. Let me tell you what I think. Mishun debar brei hava. Rav Simi bar Chiya wasn't just a Simi, the son of Achiya. It's Chiya who was the son of Rav. Rav had a son Chiya, right? And it's his own grandson. V'kamal e'hachi, and the reason he told him this was, Mishum chavivuse, because this was his balip te'enako, kolei ma'ati yodei lohishiveni. Right? You're someone that knows how to say something good to me, and I don't know, it's some sort of compliment that he's telling him, because he's very chavivt him. Then he says, Vanisha mati. He says, I'm going to tell you, I heard a different pshat. Shemid esnias hoya by Rav. Rav had a mid of tznias. He would never lift his eyes up. And as a result, when he saw me, he didn't recognize him. And that's why he said this. So where does this come from? That Rav had a minute that he didn't look up. This is one of the Asarim Mil de Chassidus of Rav. Right, he never looked at the sides. He never looked outside of his Dalet Amos. We've spoken about this, right, more times than we spoke about the Gemara Namid Beis of Rabbi Akiva. But the bottom line is a Gemara we've tackled, Baruch Hashem, so many different angles. But the bottom line is, we know Rav had, so he said, I heard that. He said, see me out. Like, are you see me? He was like a little bit confused. But Rashi says, that can't be the pshat. Because if that was the pshat, the only person he ever told it to was Simi. So it doesn't make sense. He said, I heard another pshat that he was a charif. Rashi says, I don't like that pshat. The bottom line is, Rashi shaloi kedarkoi. He's giving you access to different pshatim that he heard, and he's mamish giving you like a real-time view of, he's struggling, what's pashim pshat and simiyat? Zok Rebu from Margolis, it's so pashit what the pshat and simiyat is. He says, Sada Gemara, the Gemara is a Masech Teshuvin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amid Beis. This, by the way, in yeshiva circles is a well-known Gemara. It's the sugi of Nat Bar Nat, which we're not going to go into right now, simiyat. But in the sugi of Nat Bar Nat, that was an easy segue. Don't give sha'olu pika'ara. So the Gemara there talks about fish that were cooked in a tanner, okay, and was put on a ka'ara, a plate, that was a fleshiger plate. And now you want to eat the fish with milachiks, right? So what you're supposed to do is just call the beis ha'ira. But the bottom line is, the Gemara had a whole shayla. Rav amam asa la'ichlan bekutach. You're not allowed to eat it now, it's a milachiger product. V'shmul amam mutal la'ichlan bekutach. If you want to eat, you're allowed to. Rav amam asa. Rav said it's asa nois and tamu. V'shmul amam mutal. Shmul said it's mutter. Nois and tam bar nois and tamu. It's not. Nois and tam, it's not. Not, it's not. Barnat, zok the Gemara. V'hadar Rav, la b'feirish itma, ela b'chlala itma. This that Rav is of the opinion that not Barnat is also Rav never said those words out of his mouth. But rather, it's something that we were able to do based on a maisa of Rav. The Rav, ikla lebe Rav, simi barchia barbere. Because Rav was once by his grandson, simi barchia. Rav had an enikel, simi barchia. And he once came to his enikel, simi. Chosh be'enoch. And he had an issue with his eyes. He was struggling. Couldn't see. Something was bothering. And they went ahead in the house of his enikel, Simi Barchia. They made him a certain potion. They made him a certain tafshel. Tom lay time basarach, and afterwards Ramu lay bishula begavah. They took the same pot that they used to make these herbs and they put something inside of it. And then when Rav ate lunch, he said, "You know, I taste the tam of the shayfa." Amar, so they say, "Yov time kulei hai must be." The Olam decided that not Barnat is aser. The Gemara says that Rav was once by his enikel simi barchia, and his eyes were hurting. Ad kidei kach, they made him a thing with the mice, and the whole not bar not of Shitas Rav came about from that story. Zog Rav Ruben Margolis, it's not rochik to say. In fact, it's very glad to say. Rav spent some time with his enikel. It was a chayla there. And what was his machla? His machla was with his eyes. And he was there, he couldn't really see. And during that time, what did Rav do? Geret and learning. See, you have six places in Shas where if Simi tells him something, and Rav says, Simiat? Not Simiat. Because he taka couldn't see. It was chosh be'enav. It's a mefurish gemar, mesach neschulin, daf kuf yad alf amibayz. And this is what we call classic Rav Ruben Margolis. And I think this is what Rav Tarfin would have said. Kafta faferach.